much. First of all, I can't. I feel a little bit badly after hearing the Rabbi Cohen's announcement. You know, I too want to see how he interacts with the Mashpia at the big event. But you know,
come
I guess
back next week.
What?
Come back next week.
If only I could. But I have my obligations to my Talmidim in New York. That's the only thing for sure that would keep me away from that site. It's really a pleasure to be here. First of all, it's always a source of great nachas for me to be in a place where one of my talmidim is making such an impact by Ziering. I guess I'm at a stage where almost all the places that I've gone, I have talmidim who are either the Ramim, Rosh Yeshiva, or Madrichim, or all three. And it's really, a source of great pride and nachas and the hashpa'ah of our yeshiva. And I say for me, it adds an added dimension, Pershus the Rosh Yeshiva. It's always a pleasure to be here. I've been coming here for the last few years and to see the growth, in this yeshiva. And I've been hearing wonderful things about the Talmidim and the approach and continue mechoyel ochoyel, they should continue to be matzliach. So I know that the yeshiva is learning menachos. I got a little bit of conflicting signals as to which part. Turns out that those conflicting signals reflect, I guess, the range and the diversity. There aren't hundreds and hundreds of talmidim, but even within the group that's here, there are different points of focus, which shows that it's a very healthy and dynamic place. So what I thought I would do is pick a broader topic, one that relates more generally to halacha as a system. It certainly is also relevant, to some of the stam issues a little bit later on. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get into that, but we'll certainly touch on it as well. So let me begin from the beginning. I want to thank also Rabbi Ziering for printing out the Makoros. I just, give a list to Rabbi Cohen and then somehow, miraculously, in some of the places that I come, everything is printed out. So that's something which we should always express hakaras hatov for. So we're going to start with the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll go back to the psukim that are here in the beginning. So this is, begins with 8 on page 1. The sugi here in Rosh Hashanah deals with a very broad topic, the question of mitzvos trichos or ein trichos kavana. And by that we mean something very specific. People sometimes confuse it. And that is whether or not you have to have kavana latzeis in the performance of a mitzvah. When you sit in a sukkah, when you blow shofar, when you take a lulav and the dalad minim, when you put on your tefillin, when you put on your tzitzis, are you obligated also to have intent to fulfill the mitzvah? So the Gemara has a Shakla V'Tarya about that. And the Gemara discusses that, there are obvious nafkamina. If a person is tokei al shir, if he blows shofar, and he's interested in the musical notes, rather than in fulfilling the mitzvah, even though he knows what he's doing, or let's say he tends to practice, but he's not ready for the actual event itself, but he does a good job. The question is, do you need kavana latzeis? Do you need kavana to fulfill the mitzvah or not? And the Gemara goes back and forth on that. It's a very long shakla V'Tarya. You have some of it in front of you. At one point, the Gemara says, shalchu le'avua d'Shmuel, that there was this exchange, and he said, kafo v'achal matzah yatza. That if somebody force feeds you matzah on Pesach, that you fulfill the obligation of achilas matzah, be'erev tochel matzos. So the Gemara says, kafo man, who is the person who is coercing you to eat the matzah? What is the case? The Gemara says, ilei mekafo sheid v'atanya itim chalim, itim shota, right, kishu chalim, ari pikeach l'chol dvarav, kishu shota reu shota l'chol dvarav. If you're talking about somebody who has some sort of a psychological, malady, that has its own status in terms of being a bar chiyuva. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Ravashi shekafo parsiyim, meaning some person, a non-Jew, let's say, forces you to eat matzah. So the Gemara says, Amarava, well, if that's the case, then we're talking about somebody who is force-fed matzah on Pesach, and the Gemara's conclusion is that yatzah, that he fulfills the mitzvah, so then zotomeret, then if that's the case, then hatokeh l'shir, yatzah. Then if a person blows shofar and he's interested in the music rather than in fulfilling the mitzvah, then he's a yotze that as well. So the Gemara understood, like, what's the point? I mean, we're talking about matzah, and you're saying zosomeret, that you're drawing conclusions in terms of shofar. So the Gemara says, pshita, hainuhach, what's the point? I mean, if we're simply trying to establish that we paskin, that mitzvos ein srichos kavana, so what's the need to jump from one topic to the next? So the Gemara says something very important. Bau desema, hasa macho matzah merachmana, v'ha'achal, aval hacha, zichron trua ksiv. Now, one might have suggested that you should be mechalek between different mitzvahs. That when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, right, the Torah describes it in a, you know, very physical way. It talks about eating matzah. And objectively, whether or not you had intention to fulfill the mitzvah or not, you did eat matzah, even if you were force-fed, you were coerced by some external force. And therefore, that you fulfill the mitzvah under those conditions is understandable. But that does not yet determine that you will necessarily fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, right, if you have no kavana, because there the Torah uses an expression which implies that beyond the objective performance, there is also an added dimension of a subjective element, you can call it, or a responsive or reactive element, and that is because the Torah uses the expression in Parshas Emor, it's a fascinating question which we're not going to go into right now, and that is a zichron trua. Right? It doesn't just say trua, it says a zichron trua. It doesn't speak about only the action, but the cuts implies that somehow you're supposed to internalize the trua. And therefore, b'hai misasek bialmahu, even though he is, you know, hearing the notes, right, he's not hearing it in a way that is consistent perhaps with zichron trua. And therefore the kamash malan is that even under these conditions, even though the Torah seems to have, you know, a different standard for tkiyah shofar, nonetheless, even that is fulfilled by objectively performing the mitzvah, even absent the kavana latzes. Alma kasava rava, says the Gemara, mitzvos einon tzrichos kavan. Either way, what emerges from this is that an expansive, let's say, view that mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, not only matzah, but shofar as well. We'll get back to this point for tangential reasons mostly in a minute, but we'll get back to it nonetheless. If you look at Rashi, when he wants to explain the difference between a matzah and shofar, he says as follows. Mao desem b'hasa machol matzah, this is Rashi Chav Ches Amin Aleph here in Mar Mekomos. Mao desem b'hasa machol matzah kom rachmona b'ha'akal. Rashi says, v'nene b'achiloso. V'hiltoch lav misaseku. Shari aflin and chiv chata samrinan ha'misasek b'chalav v'arayel schayev shekeinene. Again, this is just be important for the Rambam or the Minchas Chinuch in just a second. It's a topic in its own right. Rashi explains that the difference between achilas matzah and tkiyah shofar goes to the question of the status of misasek. Misasek typically means a person does something unknowingly. You know, he's preoccupied, he's trying to do an A, and he ends up also doing B. That's called misasek. He does it unaware or in the context of really trying to do something else. And the rule is that typically misasek is even less than a shogeg. There's actually a major debate among the achronim, which has its, you know, clear roots in the Rishonim, whether misasek is a lack of maisa avera, or it is a maisa avera, it's just a pture korban, but it's certainly less than shogeg. There's a famous discussion of Rabbi Kiveger and a tshuva. I say it has much earlier roots than that. However, the rule is that there's an exception, and that is hamisasek b'chalav varayos, that is chayiv, right? Shekei nen, because since physically, right, he benefits, you know, from, he enjoys What he did, as he ate, he ended up, you know, the caloric intake is the same whether he had kavana or not. If it tasted good, his palate, you know, has enjoyed it, you know, whether or not he was focusing on it or not. That's true for macholas asuros, and that's true for isurei bia. So masasik b'chalav barayis is chayiv shekeinem. There's a major debate among the Rishonim how to understand that. Some of them understand that, you know, hana is a mitzaref. In other words, that if you do something, again, inadvertently, or without focus in a preoccupied state, so that maybe that normally wouldn't be considered a, you know, sufficient, you know, purpose of action, you know, but at the end of the day, if you're nana, so it's hard to say that it just happened. It's hard to break the link between you, you know, and the experience, because notwithstanding the lack of kavana, in the end of the day, you were nana. So nana, hana, is a mitzaref between you and the action, and therefore something that doesn't typically qualify as your legal formal action, right, to becomes connected to you by virtue of this bridge, this hana saguf that you have. That's one way to look at it. Others say that it means something a little bit different, and that is that maybe, this is an important question, maybe the mechayiv of Isurei Bia and Macholos Asuros is not the Maisa Veira, but actually the illicit Hanas Hagavra, or some combination thereof. And therefore, even though Misaseik on all levels is a Chisaron in the Maisa, but in the end of the day, if the Mechayiv is not the Maisa, but it's the Hana that, you know, that in fact, practically, you have experienced, then Misaseik is not going to detract from that. Nafkamina being, this is 2 days in Tosis in Sanhedrin, let's say you have areas of halacha which are not hana defined clearly, like Melachas Shabbos, for example, but you do a Melach on Shabbos v'misaseik, let's say in a manner in which you are physically nana. This is a discussion, Tosis and Sanhedrin, and Daf Samach Beis seems to have 2 deos on this question. So if the problem, or if the issue is shekei nana as a mitzarev, it's what links you to an action and associates it with you, you know, notwithstanding that, you know, if there was no hanod, it would not be connected to you, then it really doesn't matter whether the category is a hanod category or a maisa category. For example, even in Hilchos Shabbos, if you had the mitzios, you would say shekeinena. On the other hand, if the idea of shekeinena is that in macholos asuros and in isurei bia, we don't care about the maisa, as long as you are nana mina isur, that's the prohibition, but that's not true in other areas of halacha, like Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, the shekeinena there wouldn't be mitzarif themselves. And I don't want to get deeply involved there, but that's part of the discussion here. There's another perspective, which we'll talk more about, and that is that this has nothing to do with, this distinction has nothing to do with misasik b'chalav marai shekeinena. It has more to do, as I said before, with the idea of zichron trua as opposed to achilas matzah. And this seems to be a little bit of the focus in the Ran, we'll see soon. And that is that the idea that whether mitzvos tzrichos kavana or mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, that should depend on the relative roles of the action and the kavana. So that the more the action is objective, it's an objective kind of an action, in other words, it's a measured formal action, the less it is dependent upon the accompanying kavana, right, in terms of being magdir, in terms of defining that action. However, the more you're dealing with something like dibor, or a response, you know, to something, you know, a response belay, so then kavana isn't just kavana. Kavana may be an important ingredient in that experience as well. In other words, instead of focusing on the shekeinena of the matzah part, which is what Rashi does, you could say the opposite, that the real distinction in the Gemara, in the Gemara's analysis of the relationship between kol shofar And achilas matzah is that kol shofar is singular and different. And the idea is that even though it is a physical, you know, kol, maybe the idea behind that kol is the idea of tefillah. And therefore it's the response that you have to the kol shofar, you know, that is critical. The Rishonim would suggest that Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos discusses this, that when it comes to mitzvos dibur, there we paskin mitzvos trichos kabana, things like kriya shema and tefillah. When it comes to, you know, mitzvos maisios, right, in those circumstances we say mitzvos ein trichos kabana. So what this distinction in the Gemara would be, we'll see in a minute, it's important for the Rambam, whether it's the Rashi focus, and even within the Rashi focus, how do you understand it, or the distinction is more in terms of mitzvos trichos kabana and the role of different of kabbana and different kind of mitzvos, especially mitzvos that are about tefillah or dibur or kabbalah belev, that remains an open question. Either way, the Gemara continues to discuss this back and forth, whether mitzvos trichos or ein trichos kabbana. That's not our main point. Let's go to the next Gemara. That's where there's a shift in the sugya. And that's where the Gemara says, Amar le'abaya is already on Chav Kesva base. I'm going to skip the in-between. Do we have that here? Right, Amalei Abaya?
Yeah. It's continued. It's all in the same.
Oh, it's all in the same thing. Okay, it's good. That's fine. Two lines from the bottom of the first page.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. So the Gemara says here that...
Three lines.
Yeah, three lines. Amalei Abaya, Yashem, Bishmini, Besukah, Yilka. Ah. So this is a kind of a... Seems like a bit of a non sequitur in the Gemara, meaning what is the elameata? Till now, the Gemara is discussing the question of mitzvos trichos or ein trichos kabbana, and we spent a couple of minutes just trying to explain that there might be a difference between, you know, kabbana and shofar, kabbana and matzah, which is the exception, which is the rule. Fine, good. What does this have to do with somebody sleeping in the sukkah, right on the eighth night, or in other words, on Shmini Atzeres? Let's assume for the moment in Eretz Yisrael, right, there's no din of Yom Tov Sheni Shogolios. Let's assume that's how Rashi interprets. So what does this have to do with anything? And what is Elamiata? Elamiata is usually kind of if this is true, you know, I like to say that Elamiata is like a drum roll or a drum beat. Like, if this is really true, then what have we even been talking about? So clearly what the Gemara had in mind was the Gemara assumed that there is a connection between mitzvos trichos, or ein trichos kavana on the one hand, and the question of bal tosif on the other. And that's what we want to analyze. We want to talk about bal tosif a little bit. The Gemara assumes, for the moment, and that's going to be challenged in the maskana, that if you hold mitzvos ein trichos kavana, namely you could fulfill a mitzvah, mili kavana, then you could also violate being mosif ala mitzvos, Bali Kavan. Okay, you don't have to, you know, reach the end of the sugya to understand that that, at minimum, is an assumption. It might be a correct assumption, right? But it's certainly a challengeable assumption, and in the end, the Gemara is going to challenge it. Okay, but for the moment, the Gemara assumes that the role of Kavana, Lekayim is a mitzvah, and the role of Kavana, Lavor, Al Tosefes mitzvah, is Hainuach, one and the same. If you can perform a mitzvah by objectively doing the action, then equally you could violate bal tosif, right, by objectively performing the action, even if you had no intention to extend the mitzvah, meaning you weren't trying to be mekayim the mitzvah in Yom Shmini, right, you just did the performance. Just like if you did the performance, you fulfilled tkiyah shofar, yeshiva besukkah, achilas matzah, right, during the first 7 days, during the 7 days of sukkahs, so too, if you just sit in the sukkah or sleep in the sukkah on the eighth day, even though you have no intention to fulfill the mitzvah, that will be a violation of bal tosif. That's what the Gemara says. So then the Gemara goes on. That the Gemara retains that havamina for a while. And the Gemara says, then therefore you should get malchus. Okay? So then the Gemara says, Omale, Shani Omer, mitzvah seinan ovalem, elabiz manon. Maybe, even if that assumption is correct, namely that you could violate bal tosif without kavanah l'shem mitzvah, maybe there's another reason why you would be exempt from bal tosif. This is a whole topic in its own right. And that is that bal tosif is only bizman. After all, what you have to understand is that Bal Tosif itself is kind of hanging, you know, by a thread. Like, what makes something Bal Tosif? It needs to be mitzuraf. It has to be connected in some way to the authentic mitzvah. If it's something that is completely divorced from it, you know, then something preposterous or something disconnected completely might not qualify as Bal Tosif. Bal Tosif is a very tricky category, as we'll soon see, as is Bal Tosif. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Shelo Bismano, like after the 7 days of Sukkos, you can't violate Bal Tosif because it's not Bismano. Says the Gemara, Masav Rav Shem and Baraba, maybe that isn't true. Minayin the Kohen Shelo Leduchan, you have Kohanim who are getting up and doing Birchas Kohanim. Shelo Yomar, Ho V'nitna Torah, Rishus, Levarech, Es Yisrael, Osiv Bracha Achas, Mishali. You have an enthusiastic Kohen, right, or Kohanim, and they say, ah, you know, why only three brachos, right? We'll add more, right? A personal bracha, you know, from this group of Kohanim or this Kohen to Klal Yisrael. Kigon, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem, right? Talmud Lomar Lo Sosifu Al Adavar. You're not allowed to do that. As well-intentioned and sincere as you might be, as exuberant as you might be, that's not the way to do it. You can't add to the Birchas Kohen. Says the Gemara V'acha, right? Kivin the Baruch Lei. Once you said the first three, meaning Birachacha, etc., overlays Manden. So you finish the mitzvah. And if you finish the mitzvah, right, we said before that Bal Tosif doesn't apply after the Zmana mitzvah. Tani, right, the Avar. Nonetheless, we're talking about this being a violation of Bal Tosif. Says the Gemara V'acha B'mayaskinam B'dalo Siyem. Maybe he didn't finish. Vatanya Siyem. We said he did finish. Siyem Bracha Achas. Maybe put in his Tosefes Bracha, you know, in the middle of the other Brachos. Okay. I Vatanya Siyem Kol Birchosa. The Gemara says that's not the Hechatimtzi. That would be a Mitzarev. That would be Bismano, but that's not what it seems like we're talking about. Says the Gemara, Shani Hacha, Kivin Dilem Isra Milet Zibur Achrina, Hadar Mevarech, Kuli Yomei, Kumayoma zmanei. What constitutes tok zmano and lachar zmano? Right. Originally, we thought it means, you know, when you have completed the mitzvah. And now we're revising that to include another kind of a broader definition, and that is, if this group of kohanim were, you know, to stick around, you know, for the 8 o'clock minyan or the 9 o'clock minyan or whatever it is, right, and they were there, they would duchen again to the next tzibur. So, even though that isn't what's happening here, the point is that they're not necessarily past the Zman HaMitzvah. These are just fascinating Gemaras about what constitutes Tziruf for Bal Tosif and Zman HaMitzvah, you know, more generally. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Umina Temra, Ditzna. And this is a quote of a Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim. Hanitane b'matana achas, shenis arvu. You have two karbonos. You get them mixed up. The blood gets mixed up, and you need matanos on the mizbeach. Some korbanos require matana achas, right? Some require, arba matanos, right? Chatos, b'chor, only one. So let's say they got mixed up, right? So what happened was, if you have hanitana b'matana achas, shenisarva b'nitana b'matana achas, right? If the mix-up is with korbanos that have the same, you know, configuration in terms of the requirements of matanos and yinasnu matanachas. It doesn't make a difference in the end. You could just go ahead. But if you have matan arba and matan arba, both required for matanos in all the corners of the mizbeach, yinasnu matan arba. But matan arba, matanachas, the problem is going to be if you have a korban that requires four and another one requires one, then what do you do then? This is a very fascinating Mishnah. Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar Omer, Yinasnu b'matan dalet. And Rabbi Yeshua married Yinasnu b'matan achas. So there's a debate whether you do the higher number or the lower number. Both possibilities, it's a debate. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, this is what's so fascinating. It sounds like, I'll just tell you before we read it what I think, it sounds like, you know, they're talking at each other rather than to each other. Hare, so Rabbi Lazar said, Hare over all of Baltigra. You can't do the lesser number, because if you do the lesser number, the one that requires four is only getting one, that's Baltigra. Omer le Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says to him, however, over al baltosif. You can't do the higher number, because then you're going to violate baltosif. Okay, that part is fine. Then the Gemara says, Amar lo, Rabbi Eliezer, lo nemer baltosif, elikashu ba'atmo. Baltosif, that only applies, right, when you, you know, as an act of initiative, you're mosif ala mitzvos. But if you find yourself in a circumstance where you're trying to cope as best as possible with an anomalous situation, right, and the only way to do that, you know, is the only way to do that is to be mosif. That's not baltosif. So then the Gemara, then the Mishnah says, "Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, lo nemar baltigra lekashuhu ba'atzmo." This is what I mean about the talking at each other part. He says, "Well, what are you talking about? Lo sigra? There's no lo sigra here. Lo sigra applies only when, as an act of initiative, right? You want to do, you want to downgrade. You want to do less than the amount required in the mitzvah." That's not what's happening here. You had a situation, you know, you don't know what to do. Whatever you do is a problem. That's not lo sigra. Va'od amar Rabbi Yeshua, kishelo nasata avarta bal tigra v'lo asisa ma'isa b'yadecha. But kishenasata avarta al baltosif. In one case, you're actively doing baltosif, and in the other case, you know, at least you're shev al tasa. So you're doing baltigra, but you have to do the one. So if the other three, you're not doing it, but at least it's b'shev al tasa. But in the case of adding, it's vasisa ma'isa b'yadecha. V'hacha, what is the Mishnah quoted? Why is this Mishnah quoted? Kiven diyoyv matana bi'bechar, avar le'lizmane. Once you do the matana achas, right, you should say avar le'lizmane. Uktani davar mishum baltosif. Why is there baltosif? After all, he completed that part of the mitzvah. There's no tziruf to the baltosif. Says the Gemara, la mishud amrinan. Therefore, doesn't that show you that kiven di l'sramile buchra chrita hodar mazamine kuliyom azmane? What it shows you is that if you were to bring another korban b'chor, right, you would still have to do a matana achas for that korban. It's a little bit of a different case, but the Gemara thinks it's close enough. So that's similar to the case of the birchas kohanim, where you have the fact that shem esrami tzibur acher, etc. Then the Gemara says, "Mimai, Dilma Kesavra Bishu Bitzasavra Leim Afilu Shelo Bizmanon." Maybe the real reason is because he holds that what we said before is not true. Namely, that a condition for Baltosif is that it be Bizmanon. Maybe he holds that there's Baltosif even Shelo Bizmanon. So the Gemara says, "Ananachi Kamrina, Rav Shambar Abba, my Thomas Shavik Masnisa, Numosiv Ibraisa, Losiv Mi Masnisa." Why did they ask originally from the Mishnah in Zvachim? Masnisin my time alamosiv kiven di l'sramalei buchrachrina boi mazamine kuli yomizmane raisanami kiven di l'sramei ziburachrina hodem avarech kuli yomizmane. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rav Shaman bar Abba hasam l'salgi de la yoiv hachi iboi mevarech iboi lo mevarech. There's still a difference, obviously, in the case of the matanos, he doesn't have a choice. In any case, you could see there's a fascinating shakavataria going on about baltosif and baltigra, bismano, in bimokom, where you have no choice. Does that make a difference? What constitutes mano and lozmano? Finally, this is the bottom line. Rav Amar, finally, at the end of the sugya, Rav says, let's go back to the beginning assumption. When Abaya asked the question, he said, Omar Abaya, elemeata, if mitzvah ain't shrichos kavana, then baltosif ain't sorach kavana. And if baltosif ain't sarach kavana, then you should be get malchus for sleeping in the sukkah on the eighth day. So now Rava says, I don't think that assumption was correct, but there are two versions of it. Rava mar latzei sloboi kavana, but lavor boi kavana. Just because you don't need kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, in terms of mitzvah shrichos kavana, that doesn't mean that to violate baltosif you don't need kavana. You do need kavana. Interesting. And then the Gemara says, I v'hamatan damim l'Rabbi Yeshua, the lavor below boy kabana. But the whole discussion in the Mishnah in Zvachim, right about the matan dalin and matan aleph, Rabbi Yeshua, that's baltosif. He certainly doesn't want to fulfill, he doesn't want to do dalid on the bechor. So he has no kabana. So how can it be that we're arguing that baltosif requires kabana? Elamarava, Lotse Slaboy Kabana. Lavor bizmano lo boy kavano, shalo bizmano boy kavano. That's the Gemara's conclusion. A complex conclusion. Meaning, in order to violate, we had two questions. You need kavana for baltosiv. Can you violate baltosiv shalo bizmane? The answer to both of those questions in the final maskana of the Gemara is a compromise. Baltosiv bizmane doesn't require a kavana. Baltosiv shalo bizmane to be mitzarev requires kavana. That's a Gemara's conclusion. Okay. What do we want from all this? It's a fascinating Shaka Bataria about Mitzvah Shrikas Kavanah and Baltosiv. Yeah.
If we're saying Shalom is mono, then
yeah.
You need Kavanah to be over Baltosiv. So then how could Rabbi Yeshua say that how could there be Baltosiv there? Because he doesn't want to be Baltosiv.
But it's Mizmano, because if there was another Bakor.
If you already dropped the blood, then
No, that's what Gemara says. But if it was another Korban, right, that's still considered bizmano. That's what the Gemara said previously. Right, just like if Yisra meets Yibur Acher.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So, what am I interested in all this? I'm interested in this. I think it's a fascinating question. But that aside, I'm interested to discuss briefly Shitas HaRambam. The simple pshat of the Gemara is this is the only place, pretty much, parallel Gemara and Eruvin, but the same Gemara basically. This is the place in Shas which says that you violate Malkus, right? I'm sorry, that you get the punishment of Malkus when you violate Baltosiv. This line of Abaye, Elameata, Hayosha Vishmini Yilke, right, is the source that there's Malkus for Baltosiv. What's fascinating is that the Rambam, who talks about Baltosiv quite often, as we'll discuss, never quotes the Chi of Malkus. And the question is why. And remember that the Rambam is a closed work, meaning, you know, it's a nicey, sefer, venechazi, you know, work. It's a comprehensive work. Rambam speaks about Tosif a number of places. The Rambam Nichol Sanhedrin actually has a list of everything that requires Malkus. So not in the situations where he talks about Baltosif and not where he counts the Chayve Malkus. In neither of those places does the Rambam ever mention that Baltosif triggers Malkus. And Menachas Chinuch noted this. I should add, just to contrast it, that the Sefer HaChinuch, when he talks about the mitzvah of the Iser, in other words, of Baltosif, that is right on page 3, right?
Bottom
of the second page. It's Taf Nun Dalet. There's a lot to talk about there, but I'll just say time is short, so let's move a little more quickly. So towards the end, the last end, you know, the chinuch typically tells you in the end of each piece, you know, whether it applies to manazeh, what the consequences are of your violation. The overalavzeh, rorozeh, the hosev b'mitzvos, kagon she'osa, chamesh totafas b'tfilin o miniach shtei tfilin ksherin, right, asuyin t'tikna b'rosho, that's of course a Yashim be Sukkah Bishmini. Or a notal lula bekavana lasas hamitzvah afopi sheodesh avar zmana sheavar alav zeb. That's a reference to the Gemara that we just read. Even though it's chutz mizmano, but he does it bekavana, right? The chayiv malkos ubeinu basra kamo sheyadua bechol malko. Where do you get it from? From our Gemara. This Gemara here and the Gemara, parallel Gemara in Eruvin. We'll read the Ramban in just a minute, but the Ramban is a Perish Al HaTorah in Parshas Va'eschanan, right, also says explicitly, quotes this Gemara, you know, approvingly. There's no reason not to. There's no place in Shas that disagrees with our Gemara, and says that if you violate, if you sleep in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, again, in Eretz Yisrael, then you are Loke. Rabbi Yosef B'Kor Shor, it was an interesting Ha'arab, which we'll get back to in a few minutes. Also mentions this, he discusses, you're not so sure about Yashem Bishmini, which is interesting in light of the Gemara. That he seems to have different views on. But he certainly holds in general that you violate, if you have it here, on number 4. Yeah, but, right, so I originally get the Psukim. So he discusses this question. So nirek kach, yes lo sosifu, kim lo sosifu lo sigru, get that in a second. Nirek kach im osifu, hey parshios, or hey minim, or hey gedilim, right, oz, Tosefes mevi alidei giron, v'nafkemina sheyilkal kol girua. Meaning whether it's losigra, certainly whether it's lososif, I'm not sure about losigra. V'lo akol tosefes, avlam tziva kodesh baruch l'zayin yamei sukkah v'tosef ches, right, hacha ein elokim mishum bal tosef, ki bal tigra leka. Question what he means by that. But then in the end, the bottom line, if you look at the last two lines, he says, umasha, says, yeah, umil fiapshat nira goreya, shenira, if you sleep in the sukkah on the shmini, shenira shaloa sisa shiva l'she mitzvah, and therefore, here he's suggesting that maybe you will be loken. Anyway, I'm just trying to contrast it. The simple pshat of the Gemara is against, says, establishes unequivocally that it's malchus, Chinuch says it's malchus, Ramban says it's malchus, Yosef Bechor Shor, at least in some situations, says it's malchus. The Minchas Chinuch raises this question, Alatar, this is number 12. Hinei Arava Mechaber, right, Kosov Belav Zed Chayt Malchus, Acharambam Lo Kosov Malchus Belav Zed, Bishum Mokom, the Gam Perakut Tesoch Sanhedrin, Lo Minao Beklal Halokim. Etc. And then he says, "Bezras Hashem, eshneze bezras hagomer ala." So he does get back to this issue. Minchaschinuch is obviously troubled. He makes a sahara on the Rambam. Elsewhere, Minchaschinuch explains what he thinks this is all about. Frankly, his suggestion is very problematic. What is his suggestion? He says, maybe the Rambam is l'shitasa. Because how does the Gemara go? The Gemara says, elameyata. Right? Am Rabbi, elameyata, yosha v'shmini, yilka. What's the elameyata? If you hold mitzvos, right, einan, srichos kavana, right, then baltosif shelo b'chavana should be loka. Correct? Says the Minchas Chinuch, but the Rambam paskins that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. And since the Gemara is built on the premise of mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, and the Rambam is mistayegi, he backs away, he retreats from that conclusion, therefore l'shitaso, he didn't think there was malchus either. The problem with that is twofold. Even though I think there might be a way to rehabilitate it, but I'm not probably going to be able to get to that point. But there are problems twofold. Number one, is it really true that the Rambam paskins that mitzvos trichos kavana? The answer is, that is a very celebrated problem in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah paskins that kafo parsiim is violation. Is for kafo parsiim, sorry, you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Okay? Those mitzvos einon trichos kavana. In Hilchos Shofar and in Hilchos Megillah, when he talks about Kriyas HaMegillah, Tokei Lashir, and when he talks about Kriyas HaMegillah, there the Rambam says that mitzvos tzrichos kavan. Now there's a whole literature, to try to explain what the Rambam had in mind. The Ran, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to read it right now, suggests that the Gemara is chiluk, when the Gemara said Hainu Hach, right, the Gemara said Zotomeret, if you hold Kafo parsiim, that you're fulfilling the obligation of matzah. The Gemara says, Zoso beres, atokei l'shir, yatsa. And then the Gemara says, Pshita, ma'u desema, you should distinguish between zichron trua and achal matzah, kamashmo. So the Ram says, and other notes of Kalim on the Rambam make the suggestion as well, that the Rambam thought that that chiluk in the Gemara, right, is nifsak l'halacha. Namely, that we don't paskin across the board either mitzvah trichos or ein trichos kavana. We make the distinction right between cases. Now again, whether that distinction is based on Rashi's emphasis of misasik b'chalavim b'arayis shekeinena, meaning that only things where there's hanoas haguf, or maybe even a mechayiv of hanoas haguf, only then do you not require kavana, right? Everything else you do. Or whether the distinction is in the other direction, namely, anything that has to do with kind of tefillah or a kiyum belev, that requires kavana. Anything else does not. That, even within the Rambam, remains an interesting open question. Like what we say about, for example, yeshiva besukkah or natilas lulav. What does the Rambam hold about them in terms of Trichas Kavan? He doesn't tell us. We know what he holds about Megillah. We know what he holds about Shofar. We know what he holds about Matzah. We don't really know in Mitzvah Trichas Kavan what he holds about some of the cases that are in between. But that's not our problem. That's a whole different topic. Either way, says the Michas Chinuch, right, two things. Number one, the Rambam paskins Mitzvah Trichas Kavanah, and therefore it doesn't have the Elamata. Now we know that isn't so pashut at all. There's conflicting evidence in the Rambam. Number two, he says, well, once that's true, then that, you know, means that he doesn't paskin the continuation of the Gemara. But let's assume for the moment that we accepted premise number one of the Michas Chinuch. Or, for example, in the cases where it's true. For example, in, let's say, Mitzvah Trichas Kavanah, which is true in Shofar and in Megillah. Even then, you can have Baltosif. Because the Elameata of the Gemara is only based on the principle of, can you have Baltosif B'li Kavanah? Right? So the Gemara says, if you don't need Kavanah L'mitzvos, and you don't need Kavanah B'Baltosif, right? And therefore, you get Malkus. But let's say you had Kavanah L'Baltosif, then presumably L'Kulalma, you should get Malkus. That isn't the issue. The issue is in the Gemara, the connection, the Gemara between Mitzvah Srichas, Ein Srichas Kavanah, and Baltosif, getting Malkus, is in a case where both are B'li Kavanah. Right? For example, some of the things that we just talked about, Sefer HaChinuch and others, right? He talks about cases where you took more minim in the lulav intentionally. Right? So, or whatever it is. You did a baltosif b'chavana, bizmano. That l'kulam should get malk, but Rambam still doesn't have that. So Minchas Chinuch's suggestion, you know, requires a better explanation for himself. Our explanation might help him in the end, I think. Or not, but that I doubt if we'll get back to that. Okay. So what is going on in the realm? I think the answer is to be found. It requires us to take a step back and to understand, again, in the very brief time that we have, a little more about Baltosif, and especially about the Rambam's view of Baltosif. Oh. So let's do that by going back to the beginning. The Torah speaks about Baltosif twice. That in itself is highly unusual. Right? Typically, as we know, the Torah doesn't have so many double parshas. It's not the only one. But certainly it's unusual, and when we encounter such a thing, it is always noteworthy. The Torah speaks about it in Parshas Vaeschanan and in Parshas Re'eh. In Vaeschanan, I would say this, you know, to make things go a little more quickly, in both contexts, right, Baltosif appears in the framework of what I would call Dvarim Ha'omdim Barumo Shalola. These are both the contexts in which Moshe Rabbeinu, who's about to leave the scene, right, Moshe Rabbeinu, who we just read about in this past week's Parsha, say for Shmos, the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael, right, he is the greatest Navi, and he's also Zichru Toras Moshe. He's identified with Torah itself. So Moshe Rabbeinu is about to leave, and he's giving, you know, advice to Klal Yisrael, you know, try to give them a foundation so that they can do practically the impossible, namely continue without him. And these psukim in Vaeschanan and Re'eh are psukim that talk about pivotal topics of halachic integrity and Jewish survival. Vata Yisrael, number one, Shema lechukim el mishpatim asher nochim el amed askem la'asos l'man techiu uvasem v'rishnim es ha'aretz asher Hashem elokei avaseichem nosein lachem. That's a drum roll too. You know, I'm about to give you the secret. You know, I'm about to tell you how you can survive and flourish. You know, how you can embrace Torah life successfully. So what would we expect to be hearing about? Something obviously hugely consequential. And then the Torah says, Lo sosifu al adavar asher nochim etzaveh eschem velo sigru mimenu lishmor etz mitzvah Hashem elokeichem asher nochim etzaveh eschem. The trick, the secret, the recipe is lo sosifu velo sigru. And then again, continuation, just to sandwich it, to show you, you know, that these truly are, you know, pivotal issues. Right? Einechem aros eisa asher asa Hashem b'bal pa'or, ki kolish asher halach achar b'bal pa'or, shmido Hashem alokecha mikirbecha, tem advekem Hashem alokechem, chayim kochem ayom. These are powerful psukim. Right? And it's all to introduce and a follow-up from Lo Salsiva V'Lasigra. The pasuk, the parsha in Re'e, likewise, the parsha in Re'e, basically, deals with the problem of Avodah Zarah, no less, right? And sandwiched in between Avodah Zarah and Navi Sheker, you have Bal Tosef u'Bal Tikra. Again, Eis Kol Adavar, Asher Anochi, this is number five, Eis Kol Adavar, Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Eschem, Osos Ishmeru La'asos, right? Lo Sosif Alav, V'lo Sigra Mimen. In between Avodah Zarah and Navi Sheker. It sounds like, again, this is crucial, this is key to both these things. The Chizkuni Alatar makes his Ha'ara. He says it's fascinating that Bal Tosef and Bal Tigra are placed, are located, you know, in this pivotal part of the Torah where we're talking about, like, major, you know, principles that have to do, my language, with the integrity of the system. Okay. Either way, what's going on? Why two parshios, and why this much impact? But take it a step further. Of course, the psukim themselves, if you just read them, you know, according to the Trop and otherwise, they also do something else that is quite remarkable. Number one, Lo Sosifu and Lo Sigru are together, sometimes in the same half pasuk. Certainly in the way that they are supposed to be read, Kriyas HaTorah, is that they're not distinctive, they run into each other. And it sounds very much as if Lo Sosifu and Lo Sigru, instead of being, or Lo Sosef and Lo Sigra, instead of being opposites, by people who add to the Torah, that sounds like, you know, Chumra Yaseira, out of over-enthusiasm, and a Giron, which of course is exactly the opposite, somebody who wants to be less burdened, right, and therefore he does less than is a minimalist and a, you know, and a maximalist. But the way it sounds in the Torah is that one and the other are really two sides of the same coin, right? And the Mefarshim all say this, Kolamosif Goreya. Right? Really, one, and that's the Pshat, and the Psukim, that's the Trop, Lososif. If you're Mosif, that is Goreya. Yosef Chorshor, who is a Pashtan, says it explicitly, but a lot of the Mefarshim say it, Kliyokar, Chaim, others. Right? If he says, if you look here at Chorshor number four, Lososifu Ki'im. He says in the other way, Lo Sigru, if you're careful not to be Mosif, right, even more Mechudash in a way, that will preclude being Goreya as well. And others say it in the opposite way, right, Tosefes is Giro. What does that mean? The Uraim, who's a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Lazar Mimitz, who wrote Sefer, you know, Sefer HaMitzvos, he counts Bal Tosef and Bal Tigra as one in the Minyan Taryag. As if to say, based on the Psukim probably, these are one and the same. They're basically one idea. But they're not one idea, right? They're two opposite things. One is, you know, you want to add more Minyan to the Lulav, or an extra day of sitting or sleeping in the Sukkah, and the other is you want to do less. How can these be the same thing? We understand where we're going with this, but the answer appears to be, if we take a step back, to understand one other thing. And that is, what is the focus of Bal Tosef and Bal Tikra? So the Sifrei in Parshas Re'eh, and Rashi quotes it even earlier in Vayeschanan, suggests that it refers to something very specific. It has to do with the performance of specific mitzvos and how that is done. The integrity with which you perform a mitzvah. The mitzvah of lulav, the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of tefillin, right? Especially things with components or numbers, how many days, if you're talking about, you know, sleeping in the sukkah, how many brachos, if you're talking about birchas kohanim. Okay. That's what Rashi quotes from the Sifrei. Here, number two, Los Osifu, Chamesh Parshios Betvilin, Chamesh Aminim Belulav, Chamesh Tzitzios, V'chein Lo Tigru. That's three, you know, the less instead of the more. Again, the same Rashi in Parshas Re'eh. Rashi says, Eskola Davar, Kala Kibachamura, Tishmur Lasso, Slitain, is that the right one? Losase, yeah, Alamur Biparsha, Shakali Shamar Losase, Alishain Lokan Ali Shamar Shalase, Losase Falav, Chamisha Totafos Tvilin, Chamisha Minim Belulav, Arba Brachos Birchas Kohanim. Different, slightly different lists, but basically the same idea. However, and by the way, I should add, we'll see in a second, this is certainly the view of the Ravid. The Ravid in Hilchos Mamrim objects to the Rambam. We'll see what the Rambam says, but I might as well get the Ravid in, since we're going to run out of time. So the Ravid in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Dalet, Halacha Gimel, if you look here, this is on the fourth page, right? Number 20. We'll see what the Rambam says in a minute, but he says here, sorry. It's number 19. It's base test. The Ravid says, Omar Avram, kol ela yisa ruach, shakol davar shagazra levasruhu l'siag, hu mishmer shatola embo mishum latosif, afil kavau l'doros, vaso kishal Torah, v'samchu l'mikra kedash kechinam bekam aduchni midrabanan ukras machta v'yalma, v'im gaur l'fitzor shakon el yobar karmel avzed dvar Torah, hu eis lasas Hashem aferu Torah. So I'll explain in a minute. V'lo timatza yisar mosif ela b'mitzis haseh, Kagon lula v'tvilin v'titzis v'kiyotzvam bein l'sha bein l'doros bein shekavah v'nivrei Torah bein shelo kavah. He's responding to the Rambam, who is troubled in a bunch of places. I'll get back to the Rambam in just a second. By the very notion of mitzvah drabana, why aren't mitzvah drabana always a violation of baltosin? That's the problem that the Rambam deals with again, again, and again. We'll see in a minute. In the conclusion to the Minyan HaKatzar, right at the very beginning of Yad HaChazaka, he deals with this, talks about Mikra Megillah, then he deals with it again in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and then again, that's at the very beginning of the Rambam, of course, Yad HaChazaka, and then at the very end of the Rambam, in Hilchos Mamrim, he deals with it again in other of his writings also. He's like very focused on this problem. How do the Rabbanans fit with the problem of Baltosin? The Ravid says, what do you mean, how do Rabbanans fit with Baltosif? What does that have to do with Baltosif? Baltosif is what the Sifrei says it is, and which you find echoes of in the Gemara. That is, there's a mitzvah, which has numbers attached to it, components, days, numbers of brachos, numbers of minim, and you either do too much or too little. That's called Baltosif, too much. Doing too little is Baltigra. What does that have to do with mitzvah Rabbanan? So the Ravid's view, you know, again, strictly, you know, from the Sifrei and from the Gemara's use of the expression or the concept of Baltosif and Baltigra, is that Baltosif and Baltigra is a very narrow, very specific din. It has to do with how you perform mitzvahs. However, the Rambam appears to have a very different perspective, and that's what the Ravid is referring to. And much later than the Rambam is also the famous view of the Ramban. I'm just going to read the Ramban quickly because that'll be important. The Ramban in Parshas Vaeschanan also seemed to be troubled by two parshios. So first he starts off, this is number three, by quoting Los Osifu, Kagon, Hey Parshios Betvilin, Hey Minim Belulav, right? Hey Tzitzios, V'chein L'tigur L'shon Rashi, V'kachon B'sifrei, right? The Sifrei in Re'ei. He mentions it. You have the parentheses here, and you ever put out this, I guess, the Bar Ilan. Minayin shelo tosif al lulav al atzitzis tamalem lo sosifu. Minayin shein poksim em tamalem lo tigru. Minayin shein pasuk levar pichas karnim liyomar hol pasachti var kamer Hashem alakei avasechen osif aleichem. Tamalem hadavar afil davar lo tosif ala. Avalo be'elo bilvad amru, ela afa yashin besuka b'shmini b'chavana. Ah, lokev. This is a rejoinder to the Minchas Chinuch a little bit. I don't mean historically, obviously, anachronistically. Meaning, and the Ramban says, remember the Gemara said, Elamayata Yashem Bishmini Loke? Okay, in the end of the Gemara, we said that you need Kavana if it's Shalom Bismano. But if you do it with Kavana, like I do want to extend the mitzvah of Shena Besukah to the eighth day, Bechavana, you'll even get Malkus. That's what Rambam's missing, right? Kemosha Muskar, the second Rosh Hashanah, even though it doesn't exactly say that, but it's by extrapolation. V'chenim Yasa, Chag, Shisha, over Balava, Zephan. Lefi Daiti, says the Ramban, Afilu Bada Lasos Mitzvah Befnei Atzma, Kagon Shasa Chag, Bechodesh, Shabbat, Milibo, Ki Ravam, over Balav. Says Ramban, in my opinion, there's another Baltosif. That is, not adding to the existing configuration or detracting from the existing configuration of the mitzvah, but creating your own holiday or your own ritual. I mean, initiating, not adding to the numbers of, not, let's say, tampering with the details, but adding a whole institution. The Kacham Relina Mikra Megillah, Meir Shmorim Nevi'im Amdolim Lisravel Pichsav Lesifo Masher Kosev Batarfilos Achas Kutzim Mikra Megillah, Mai Drosh, Ubirushalmi, Shmorim V'chamishas Kenim, Mehem Kamen Nevi'im Oyim Mitzdarim Al Adavar, where it says, Eila HaMitzvos, Asher Tziva Asher Mitzmoshe, LeMitzvah Shin Tzavim Pi Moshe, Kacham Relim Moshe, Einav Yashar Rekhose L'Chadish Davar, Mordechai V'Esther, Rotsim L'Chadish Lanu Davar, but they weren't adding a totefes to the tefillin. They were trying to make a new holiday, a new mitzvah. Lo zozim yisham dosim v'dosim v'davar ad shehir HaKadosh Baruch Hu einayim harish ha'isa mitzvah zu asur lehem if not. Im kein hi b'chal l'tosif. El sholom de l'mosif al pi anavi al min ha'kosif shamar eila mitzvah sein over ha'shar tish kadosh davar me'ata. Ma'a shetiknu chachamim mishum geder kegon shniyos harayis l'ki yotze hi mitzvah min ha'torah v'vad sheyodeh bahen mishum ha'geder hazeh, right? Ve'enam pi ha'kadosh baruch hu b'torah. Here's the Ramban addressing the question. So what are the Rabbanans? The answer is Rabbanans are fine as long as they're formulated as Rabbanans. The problem is would be if they were formulated as Doraisas. And of course this is taken already from the Rambam, this idea that Boda Milibo, that creating your own ritual, your own holiday, etc., that too constitutes Baltosif, is the Shitas Rambam. Ramban doesn't give him credit here, but it's early in the Rambam. I say the Rambam was clearly, I'm going to try to finish this quickly, very focused on Bal Tosif. I say in the Minyan HaKatzar, you have it here very briefly, Katzar, right? Number 17, right? Elohein Sheish Mitzos, the Shalosh Esrei Mitzos, Shenema Lamoshe Misinai, Hein Vakloseim, Pratoseim, Diktukeim, Kolos and Akolos HaPratos, Adiktukin, Ubiurim, Shokomitzo Mitzvah, Yitor Shabal Peh, etc. That's fine. What does this have to do with Baltosif anyway? Meaning the Rambam assume that adding a mitzvah in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, right, not an extra min in the lulav, or an extra string in the tzitzis. That would be Bal Tosif. And that's the Rambam's view all throughout. Here in Sodei HaTorah, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, it's fascinating. The Rambam associates Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra with the Ikare, one of the Ikare Amunah, really connected to two of the Ikare Amunahs, and that is the immutability of the Torah. Right? It's permanence. Davar Barum Mefurish Batorah, She mitzvah medeslad lomi alam imein lo loshinu v'lo girom lo tosefes. Right, shenemar as kol adovar shanochi mitzvah eskem osa tishmul asas lo tosif lo tigra. The soda of nitzchiyas haTorah and the fact that it's immutable is about bal tosif or bal tigra. That's how the Rambam understood it. Meaning, it's not about only, right, how you do a particular mitzvah with components and and time limits, expanding the time, limiting the time, you know, one less totefes, one more. It's literally about the immutability of the Torah. Nehemiah, Niglo, son of Vanenu. I'm not going to read it because, again, my time is running out. Aleph, Beis, and Gimel are all about Navi Sheker, all about this idea. The Rambam completely, because again, we're very influenced by the Rambam, which is a good thing. But, you know, Rambam aficionados, you know, it's always important to understand what does the Rambam adding? What's Mechudash in the Rambam? Can't be appreciative of the Rambam unless you first understand, you know, what his Chidushim are. The Rambam has a very expansive view of Baal Tosef and Baal Tikva. He sees it, you know, not just as totepes and minim, but as a key to the integrity of the Torah. I'll explain in a minute. Same thing is true in Nicholas Mamre. 19. Hov yesh lebezen ligzor v'lesor davar amutar v'yamar yisur ledoros. Chein leishon lahatir yisur Torah lefisha. This is the end of the Mishnah Torah. Ba'u zesh is hira Torah lo sesu v'le tigra amiks. He keeps going back to it. Shalal hosel divrei Torah v'le legro amehen v'le kvoa davar liolam v'davar shumana Torah bein Torah shibitza bein Torah shibabet. Meaning, again, he's talking about takanas drabanan. Don't present the takanas drabanan if it's daraisa. Then takanas are very, actually the Rambam has more than any other Rishon, the most expansive concept of losasur. That's where the Raibid made his comment. He said, what's he talking about? What does drabanans have to do with Baal Tosef? Baal Tosef is about how many minim of the lulav. Oh, where does this come from? In addition, I think for the context of Psukim, the Chizkuni Sahara, I think from the connection between Los Osef and Los Sigra, also from the Sugya and Sanhedrin. Sugya and Sanhedrin talks about what is a Zakein Mamre. And there are different views. Right? One view is that it depends on the consequence. You know, what's at stake? If it's something that's dono, koros, shugaso, chatos, but it's dono is misa, skila, kares. And Zakin Mamre is Mora Hora in such an area, so consequential, that constitutes the violation of Zakin Mamre. Then the Mishnah says, has another view, and the Mishnah says, Chomer B'divrei Sofrim, this is number 16, Mi B'divrei Torah. Ha'omering Tfilin, K'dei Lavra al Divrei Torah, Patur, Chamesh Totafos, La'usaf al Divrei Sofrim, Chayev. Gemara says, Omer Ablazer V'oshia, Eno Chayev al Dover Shikara B'divrei Torah, Perushim b'divrei sofrim yesh b'la hosif im hosif goreim. The ain lot of well the tefillin are ribed Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says aika lulav. The ikar b'divrei Torah perushim b'divrei sofrim yesh b'la hosif im hosif goreim. So the Gemara says it depends. B'lula my sphere. What do you hold in lulav? Isfir le lulav ain sor cheged. Ha'iluchu dekai v'ha'iluchu dekai. Just add minim. They don't really combine. B'isfir le sor cheged. Garuv Yomid, then you have everything in the Eged. You have too many. It's not a lulav anymore, or it's not the dalad mina. Okay, what's the idea here? There seems to be a separate category in Zakin Mamre, at least according to one view in the Mishnah, the Rambam Paskins this way. And that is, there's Zakin Mamre because of consequences, and there's a special din of Zakin Mamre for Baal Tosef. If you look at the Rambam and the Raivid, again, I have to finish in two more minutes, but if you look at the Rambam and the Raivid in Hukos Mamrim, which one was that? Dalet Gimel, again, the Rambam says, Im lo tovi machlokas li dekach, meaning to Misa, then typically there's no Zakei Mamre, ha-reza patur, chutzmi mitzvahs tefillin bilvad, ketzad hora lahosif, etc. The Raivid says, he doesn't understand the Gemara that way. He thinks that the Gemara is only trying to find a case where you undermine it as you're doing it. But even in the other cases, like Dalad Min Shabalulav, maybe even in those cases you'd violate Zakei Mamre. It's an interesting discussion. And then the Raivid says maybe there's a difference between Baal Tosef, which undermines the mitzvah, and Baal Tosef, which leaves the mitzvah intact, but constitutes a separate violation. That's all in the Raivid Rambam exchange in Mam. But the question to ask is why, on any level, whatever the acuity of this particular Baal Tosef is, there's a Zakein Mamre for Kol Torah Kula, which depends on the consequence, and then there's another Zakein Mamre that has some all or some Baal Tosef cases? Why? But the answer is, to all these questions, especially according to the Rambam, and according to the Ramban, is that there's a whole different principle in Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. It's the principle of the integrity of the halacha as a process. It's the idea that if you're Mosif, you're Goreya, because then, in a way, by being Mosif, you're basically questioning the authority, right, and the validity of this mitzvah as an expression of Dvar Hashem. Because out of your enthusiasm and sincerity, you're undercutting that. I'm not talking about being machmir or zakeli venveyu. I'm talking about changing the configuration of the mitzvah. So when you're mosif, you're goreya. The Bechor Shor says, if you sleep in the sukkah on the eighth night, then igloi milsalam afreya, that the other seven nights that you were sleeping there, you weren't doing that, you know, as an eved Hashem. You were doing that because it means something to you personally. Right? That's why the Urayim says that Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra are two sides of the same coin. That's a discussion of Elazar, Rabbi Shua, and the Mishnah in Zvachim, where it looks like they're talking at each other. You have a situation where you have to either be Mosif or Goreya, and they're trying to figure out which is worse. But what they're really saying is, it's a situation where we have no choice. We have to make a decision. So we're trying to be Mimayit Bara, not just in which is a bigger Maisa Avera. Which of these two is a bigger violation of their common theme, namely undercutting the integrity of Torah itself? So when it comes to Zaken Mamre, which is all about protecting the system, you know, from unprincipled smart, but unprincipled practitioners or theorists, there's a special din of Zaken Mamre because the area of Baal Tosif is hypersensitive. It's all about, anyways, the integrity of the halakha. Well, what does this have to do with the Rambam? So I think that the Rambam understood that this question really is just dealt with in the transition in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah itself. One last ha'ara before we take the 1 minute to finish up. The Gra makes the ha'ara in Aderes Eliyahu about the, says, why are there two parshios? One in Evaskan and one in Re'eh. So the Gra says, well, because one parsha, the one in Re'eh, is like the Sifrei. That's about adding to the performance or detracting from the performance of a mitzvah. Heitotafos, how many minim. But the parsha in Vaeschanan, he says, that's like the Rabban. It doesn't say the words Rabban. That's a din of Vodachon Milibo. There are two different dinim of Baal Tosif. But in minyan mitzvos, neither the Ramban nor the Rambam count separately the Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra of Vaeschanan and the Baal Tosif and the Baal Tigra of Re'eh. They count at once. So what does that mean? It means there are two, but they're one. Oh. So I think the Rambam understood that this is exactly what happened in the Shabbat Batari of the Gemara. The Gemara originally said, Abaya thought, that Elameyata, if you don't need Kavanah for a mitzvah, let's assume for the moment you don't need Kavanah for Baal Tosif either. And then, it just depends separately whether Baal Tosif is Bismano or Shelo Bismano, and that's a separate question. But in the end of the day, you can violate Baal Tosif, Bli Kavanah, if you can fulfill the mitzvah, Bli Kavanah. Meaning, Abaya was focused on Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra the same way that the Ravid was. He saw it as an improper performance of mitzvos. Meaning, Amaisa Beira. And that's what the Gemara says, Elameyata, if you can even violate Baal Tosif, Bli Kavanah. Right? Because you don't mean badly. You know, you're just kind of doing it. There's no intention. Then it's, why? Because it's an objective Avera. Then you see a Malkus. Because it's a Lav. And you're doing a Maisa. It's a Lav Sheishba Maisa. And you should get Malkus. But in the Maskanas HaGemara, after the whole discussion, when Rava said, you know what? Even though you violate mitzvos, I'm sorry, even though you can fulfill mitzvos, Bli Kavana, Baal Tosif, at least Shelo Bismano, requires Kavana. Maybe the Rambam understood that that's when the Gemara was making a 180-degree turn. The Gemara was saying, you can't violate Baal Tosif. If it's Bismano, then it's lax. Then the implication, you know, of it's Bismano and you're tampering with the mitzvah? It's not a Maisa Beira. It's an unacceptable statement about the integrity of the halacha. But if that's true, then shelo bizmano, it doesn't happen automatically. You have to have kavana. But shelo bizmano, you need kavana, because that's the mechayev. The mechayev is that you're being mosif hainu, you're being goreya, you are undercutting the integrity of the system. That's the nature of baltosif. The two baltosifs are one, but the real baltosif is the bodeh. Just so you can do bodeh, right, through a maisa avera, right, bismano two, says the Rambam. But if that's the case, then the malchus in the beginning of the sugya no longer applies, because the Rambam in general is of the opinion, this is not for now, that lav sheyesh b'maisa is not dependent on whether or not you need a physical act to violate the law. Lav sheyesh b'maisa means, is the nature of the violation the maisa avera, as opposed to being something different. So the Rambam thought that when the Gemara thought you could violate baltosiv, bismano, shilo bismano, beli kavana, it was a maisa avera. You get malchus. But lamaskana, where the Gemara thinks that baltosiv is like baltigra, namely it's about an unacceptable perspective on the totality of the integrity of the halacha, that's not a lav sheish b'maisa. It may be worse than a lav sheish b'maisa. But either way, it's not actionable through malchus, and therefore not in Hilchos Sanhedrin, and not in all of many places where the Rambam speaks about baltosiv, for the same reason that he's so focused on baltosiv, and that he thinks it's connected to drabbanans, and he keeps thinking that he has to define the parameters of it. For that very same reason, the Rambam understood that baltosif is bigger than a maisa avera, the consequence being, though, that there is no malchus either. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I'm a little over time, but food for thought.